Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. Straight up, 2 hours today on Sports Byline. We'll spend some time in hour number two. We'll go back in time, and we'll do an interview, play an interview I played with Ernie Shavers, considered the hardest puncher in boxing history. A lot of stuff talking this week about Ernie Shavers come out of retirement in the mid-1990s to challenge Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson wanted no part of him, of course. Mike Tyson, 5'9", Ernie Shavers about 6'3", 6'4". And when Ernie hits you, I've said this before, I'm being redundant, but when Ernie hits you, usually when you see a punch coming at you, you can take it. I mean, every punch that I saw coming at me, I could take, okay? Where the punches are hooks, the right hooks a couple of times and the left hooks a couple of times, but the bottom line is you didn't see those shots. You don't see the punches. The punches you don't see are the punches that hurt you. But Ernie Shavers could hit you with a punch that you saw coming and still knock you down. How do I know? Larry Holmes told me it was the hardest he's ever been hit in his entire life. He's been there with a lot of guys, but the bottom line is Shavers hit the hardest. Muhammad Ali said the same thing. So we'll spend some time with the hardest puncher in boxing history. I'm talking about Ernie Shavers in hour number two. The world of the UFC was live on ABC. I said, of course, Dana White kicking ass as the world's greatest promoter. Call him what you want. I don't like him at all. Of course, I think he's, you know, I won't go into that. But the bottom line is Khalil Roundtree was in the main event. Of course, Khalil did a bout with Alex Pereira, I guess it was in October of last year, in which he was beaten up so bad that I didn't think the guy could ever come back. I mean, he was beaten up so bad, it looked like somebody took 3 or 4 billy clubs to him and just beat him to death. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Anyway, guy comes back. He was a winner last night. I'll talk about that a little bit more in hour number two. But straight up, Dana White kicking ass. Of course, Dana White looking to take over the world of boxing. I'm not too excited about that. Are you? Open phone lines all around the planet. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Spend some time with the Sir Thomas Dillamuth, Tommy D, of course, video fame. We'll talk with Tommy in hour number one of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, talking boxing pre and post. Straight up, you are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. The impeccable one is at the controls. Take it away, Bailey Peck.
Now at Verizon, we have some big news for your peace of mind, for all our customers, existing and new. We're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan and my home. That's future you peace of mind. And everyone can save on a brand new phone on my plan when you trade in any phone from one of our top brands. That's new phone peace of mind. Because at Verizon, whether you're already a customer or you're just joining us, we got you. Visit Verizon today. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
1 out of 2 Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Testing, testing.
We are live from Chick-fil-A.
This is Grant.
And this is Laura.
And a little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich is that sweet bun.
And that chicken filet was perfectly crispy and soft at the same time.
And that Smokehouse Barbecue sauce, it's a lot of fun. And the brown sugar bacon definitely had a little bit more pizzazz. Also, the Mac, one of the all-time greats. Man, I'm getting hungry.
Order the Smokehouse Barbecue Bacon Sandwich and our Coca-Cola on the Chick-fil-A app for a limited time. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
And you know who never gets a death penalty? Are crazy people and mentally ill people. Anybody who's got a problem, like a Jeffrey Dahmer. Remember that guy? Was it 4 or 5 years ago? Dahmer was eating a lot of people. And they never gave him the death penalty because he was ruled insane. What a surprise. But if a guy's crazy, that's the defense in America. He doesn't know what he did. He cannot be held responsible for his actions. Well, if he doesn't know what he did, then he doesn't know we're going to kill him. The guy's that crazy. You put the guy in the electric chair, we'll tell him it's a ride.
Before I bring in Sir Thomas Dillamuth, a.k.a. Tommy D of video fame, we will talk about, of course, June 17, 2000. Of course, that was like 25 years ago. Hard to believe. We'll talk about the fight at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. Shane Mosley came in at 34 and zip. Of course, the former lightweight champion. Of course, Oscar De La Hoya, the welterweight title holder at that point in time, 32-1. Of course, a big fight, no doubt about that. Oscar didn't win, but after 12 rounds, Shane did. And, you know, we went to a party afterwards, and I think that Seth Abraham, of course, the CEO boss, whatever you want to call him, he was the king at HBO. He's the guy that brought us all that HBO boxing. Without Seth Abraham, none of the great fights would have ever taken place, I don't think, because Bob Arum and Don King couldn't give a spit about each other. They just wanted to make money, and of course, Seth Abraham brought them together. But Seth threw this party at the Staples Center in L.A. after Mosley and De La Hoya. There was probably about 800 people to 1,000 people at this party. I kid you not. That's how big this party was, okay? And the Sopranos were there. Everybody from Hollywood was there. Everybody. The rock stars were there. The Stones were there. All kinds of crazy people were there. But bottom line is, I took a picture with the Sopranos, the sister, and Richie Abreu. Richie Abreu was the sister's boyfriend in the Sopranos, of course. And she killed him. She shot him. And then Tony came and cleaned up the body. They chopped him up or something like that. But the bottom line is, Richie Abreu was really, 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 really a creepy guy in the series. I mean, he was creepy, right? But he was creepier in real life. I mean, like, yikes. So I went off subject. But the bottom line is, June 17th, 2000, Oscar De La Hoya, of course, loses. These scores were like 116, 112, 115, 113. And take that. I think Marty Salmon had it for De La Hoya, 115, 113. Marty Salmon must have been smoking crack that day. Of course, Marty Salmon, he's passed away. He's a pretty good guy. Let me tell you, I'll tell you a little Marty Salmon story one time. Marty Salmon took a Golden Glove championship away from me, and I don't want to mention the year, but the bottom line is, it was my first championship fight, the only championship fight I ever lost in my life, straight up. So I'm fighting this dude, and they took away 2 points. And he took away 2 points. He said I was holding, but I was holding because I was kicking this dude's ass so much. I mean, he threw a lot of punches, no doubt about him, but I was kicking his ass. So they took away 2 points, and after they took away two points, was essentially made 2 rounds even, because I won 2 of the 3 rounds. They tried to say he won one round. So anyway, bottom line is, at the end of the fight, it was a 3-2 split decision. They gave it to him. So Marty Sammons, a referee, is from the University of Santa Clara. He's passed away, as I mentioned, but he was an accountant. He handled the money of Michael Doakes, didn't work too well there, and Hector Camacho, he did pretty good there. But anyway, I had him in Malaga, Spain, and I got him drunk. I got him drunk in Malaga, Spain, and then he told me, you know, and I'm going, you know what? He goes, I feel a little bad now looking at you. Look at me, what, feel bad for what? Did you have sex with my mother or something like that? What's up? He goes, no. He goes, you know, they didn't want you to win that. I said, what do you mean they didn't want me to win that? Well, who's they? He goes, Otis and them. He goes, they told me to really keep an eye on you, and if you did anything, I had to take away points. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, and you waited 25 or 30 years to tell me? But he told me. Anyway, bottom line is, Marty Salmon had De La Hoya win in that fight. I can't believe that, 115-113. Pat Russell, my buddy, had it 115-113. For Shane Mosley, as did Lou Filippo. Of course, Lou Filippo had 116-112, 8-4 in rounds. He was the judge that voted for Marvin Hagler over Ray Leonard in that split decision, of course, back in 1987, April of 1987, April 7th, I believe. But the bottom line is, he was the lone judge, and he went with Hagler. And, of course, he thought that Hagler won the fight 115-113. And, you know, we're only a couple of points off this net, but he and I, God rest his soul, Lou Filippo, he and I argued and talked about this, and probably about, I don't know, 10, 15 different countries, at least 3 different continents. He was just a wonderful guy to be around, a former fighter. May he rest in peace. Now, we take it from the West Coast to the East Coast and bring in the man from the Bronx to talk about the guy that screwed up the P. Diddy trial. You are the guy, the juror, right? You're juror number 6? No. Let me tell you why Tommy D is juror number 6 in the P. Diddy trial. This is the Sean Combs trial. This is how I figured it out, folks. Okay? They said juror number 6 recently moved in the Bronx. When they said that and they tied it together and they said they sort of physically described the guy, I said to me, that's Tommy D.
Well, you know I can't talk about the case, right?
Oh, man. Come on, man. Yes, it's over with. As far as you're concerned.
It's not over with.
Hey, let me tell you, unless he gets the greatest rabbit's foot in the history of all legalism, he's going to jail for the rest of his life. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. I mean, I know what RICO is, and if you can prove 2 crimes out of these 10 different charges, you got it. And I think with the prostitution and the extortion, the coercion, this kind of stuff, and you know what I mean? Hey, how about this one? How would you feel if you was going out with some girl? I take it back. You meet your wife and you don't know that she heard about her prayer boyfriend or in this way, and somebody comes over and they blow up your car. How would you feel about that?
I go crazy.
Exactly. So this is what this P. Diddy guy did, and that's just some of the little things he did, of course. And I do want to mention the fact that I think it was 2000 or 2004 when I dissed him in London. We were at the arena after the fight. Of course, Prince Nassim Ahmed, post-fight, I was going into his locker room after the fight, and he was sitting there on a stool with some other guy dressed up. They were dressed up like stooges, like elves or something. Like, you know what I mean? But when I say 2 guys are dressed up as elves, you know what I mean? They were sort of dressed up wearing the same suit, but they were 2 different guys.
It was a costume party or something?
No, but that's Diddy's little, that's the gayness of Diddy.
Oh my God.
That I'm telling you, man, and listen, he don't swing both ways. He swings the guy more guys than he does girls. Anyway, that'll be over with in about a week and a half. May he rot his ass in jail for the rest of his life and then some. Straight up, I'm going back to boxing. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. June 17, 2000. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I was got a question. So you was at a party of P. Diddy's then. That's what you're saying?
No. I never went to no P. Diddy parties. But Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones did. And I asked him about
that. Okay. I just wanted to clarify. I just want to make sure, you know, so it sounded like you was at a party. That's it. Okay.
You know what? Nobody throws hey, what did LeBron say? Nobody throws a party like P. Diddy. You don't go into rooms, man. There's a bunch of rooms that you don't want to go into. I mean,
nah.
I didn't want to even talk about it. Just think of years. It's like, you know what? Diddy's freakouts were like haunted houses. Now that I hear the testimony and this and that, I mean, you're hearing like the transcripts and things like that from the trial. It's unbelievably gross.
Yeah, I wouldn't go in a room. I'd say that much. I wouldn't even be caught at a party.
No, man. You and I'd be spending the whole time in the hall. You know that? Me though, we're not going in no rooms. We're not going in no rooms. Okay, De La Hoya Mosley, you old enough to remember that?
Yes, I am. That was, you was just saying, in 2000, that was the first one.
It was the first one. Of course, it was at the LA, at the LA Staples Center. It was sold out, and man, the crowd was amazing. Tony Soprano showed up. All the Sopranos were, of course. I think the Sopranos ran from 1999 to 2007 or something like that. Anyway, bottom line is Tony was there. Tony Soprano was there. The entire cast was there, and you know, everybody was there. The Godfather was there, his late wife, the godmama. I'm talking about Patricia Stitch. She was there. I mean, it was just a blast. When I talked to Larry about it yesterday, Larry said, quote, "I don't remember the parties. I remember the fights." That's cool.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, that's what's important.
Exactly. But I remember. Listen, man, those parties were amazing. Uncle Seth Abraham, he must have spent $1 million on that one. There must have been 800 people at that party.
Yeah, but that was an extravaganza. That fight alone, that was, you know, De La Hoya Mosley, the first one
in L.A.
Yeah, it had to do. I mean, I'm sure it did way better than the second one.
Oh yeah. You know, but. You know, at the end of the night, though, the house guy didn't win, or the guy that the boxing establishment wanted to win didn't win. But, you know, it was a decent fight, and, of course, they both went on to greatness afterwards. But bottom line is, how do you rate – do you rank Shea Mosley in the top 10 of any division of all time? Do you rank him as a lightweight top 10?
It's hard. I mean, he's definitely one of the greats, but I don't know if I could put him in the top 10. There's so many fighters, you know. Yeah. This was at 147 welterweight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many good welterweights. I mean, welterweight, it's not like now. Like, welterweight division is usually like one of the elite divisions in all of boxing. Now 147 is like, it's very top heavy. You could have named like three or four guys right now that are big names at 147.
Okay, do you remember Dan Goosen, the boxing promoter?
Yes.
10 Goose Boxing, and then he went on to America Presents, and of course started his own little group out there. But the bottom line is, I did the television when Shane Mosley fought Juan Manuel Aranda, and that was in 1993, October 25th, 1993. I did the fight with Chick Hearn, I think, and Tom Kelly. Anyway, so Tom Kelly tells me afterwards, he goes, "We'll see you in 2 weeks, kid. Don't worry about it. You got the job. Nobody can do it better than you, right?" And then 2 weeks later, Rich Marotta had the job. Looks like Dan Goosen backstabbed me and gave the job to Rich Marotta. He went in there and put some pressure on him.
Wow, that's crazy. But
when I left I left the forum that night with the gig.
You left, the Juan fight.
Yeah, I left the Juan fight. And I said, "Man, we'll see you in 2 weeks." No, but you blew. I thought I blew him away too. You know what I mean? I'm very, very critical of how I took care of things. But man, I'm doing fights at the forum. I'm prepped.
Yeah.
Unlike
that
today.
Was the Great Inglewood, right? In Inglewood, right?
The Great Inglewood Forum. I think they call it the Hulu Arena or something like that. I got some name for it. I can't remember what it was. But I used to do Ring Talk Live worldwide. Across the street, the Forum Boxing had an office, okay? And I would do boxing across. I would do Ring Talk Live worldwide. Like after the Marco Antonio Barrera Kennedy McKinney fight, I went live on the air right after. I did some great stuff with the Forum, man. I had some decent opportunities there, and of course I went from the Forum, I went to the Z Channel, and people said, "What's the Z Channel?" The Z Channel was like HBO and Showtime. It was sort of like kicking ass down there in LA, and it had its own boxing show and a boxing channel. So once a month we did boxing on the Z Channel. That's sort of how I met people like Mary Wilson, the Supremes, and I can't remember that jazz guy who just talked like this. I can't remember. It'll come to me. Bottom line is, you are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're going to talk some more with Tommy D, but we'll get back to boxing with Tommy D straight after the break. Of course, Tommy D, of course, the man with the Friday Night Show on YouTube. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Thank you. Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical.
800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
And to you, Pedro, I hope I see you ringside sooner than later, buddy.
The late, great Nick Charles. Actually, Nick Charles is the name of several notable individuals, including a sportscaster, a guitarist, and a politician. The most prominent Nick Charles is likely the former CNN broadcaster. Of course, he worked on Sports Tonight. Of course, there was boxing commentary on Showtime. And he did a couple of shows for Arum after he got sick. But he got cancer. He came on the show. He was on the comeback. Of course, cancer came back and KO'd him 6 or 7 months later. But the bottom line is, I really miss him. And without a doubt, he's one of the classiest men I've ever, ever met in my entire life. Rest in peace, Nick Charles. You ever get the opportunity to meet Nick Charles?
No, I haven't.
Pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
And he had the greatest hair in the entire world.
Why was that?
Because look at his head of hair. You ever seen his hair?
I can't picture it.
Exactly.
Right now,
well, you know, you can't picture it because you're too young. Bottom line is Nick Charles had the best head of hair on television. I'm talking about cable news, anything. Bottom line is he kicked ass, no doubt about that. Now, let's talk about the fight, of course, coming up September the 12th, of course. 41-0, 31 KOs, Terrence Crawford. Of course, Canelo Alvarez, 63-2-2. Canelo sort of admitted yesterday or said something to the effect at a press briefing that, you know, that Crawford had better skills than him, but. I think the fact that he admitted that alone is a sign of defeat. Myself. I think he knows he's going to lose.
I think it was shocking that he would say something like that, but I don't know about this fight. I'm intrigued, but then it's like I feel like they're forcing it down our throats a little bit. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, now they got this guy doing the promotion, the guy that we can't stand.
You mean Mr. White? Cheek Turkey Jerky?
Well, him and Dana White. You know, Dana White's elite promotion. But I just feel like they're stuffing it down our throats. And, like, and anytime, like, you get amped up and really, you know, excited to see something, and then, you know, you go and you're ready to watch it, and then it's like a total flunk, you know? And I feel like this may be one of those, you know?
You know, I don't think so. Let me tell you like this, okay? I'm going to probably get in trouble for saying this, and people aren't going to – some people take it the wrong way. But I like the black style of fighter. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
Okay, when I try to explain it to people, man, some people get cross-eyed, smoke coming out their ears and this and that, and they don't get it. I mean, they just don't. I like a slick black fighter over a guy that's going to, like, take a punch to give a punch and, you know, going to try to work his way inside this and that. I prefer the guy that can work on the outside and just kick your ass from a distance. I mean, to me, that is the best fighter pound for pound. I think the better fighter pound for pound. I think that when you look at these two guys and you put them in the center of the ring, unless Canelo can impose some incredible size advantage over him that I don't think he has to begin with, I don't think he's going to win. I mean, and listen, I usually don't go out on a limb on catchweight fights and this and that, especially when there's smaller guys involved, but I'm telling you, I think Crawford's got everything to win here and Canelo's got very little.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this is I'm shocked that Canelo's doing this fight because you know, he just, remember, early on in his career, he took on, you know, what some people may think is one of the best fighters of all time.
Floyd Mayweather Jr. No, let's give him his props.
He's definitely one of the greatest. I'm just saying some people, because some people don't like the style that Floyd had. But he fought a Floyd, and he got pretty much shut out in that fight. And now he's fighting, you know, in another era, you know, the Bud Crawford era, two-time undisputed champion. And, you know, if he loses to him, you know, what are they going to say about Canelo's career when it's all said and done?
Okay. Do you know what guacamole is?
Guacamole?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's avocado. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. when Canelo fought Mayweather back then, he was green as guacamole. That's why Mayweather took him on. They could make some money on pay-per-view. He could fight another Mexican. Because, you know, his uncle, Roger Mayweather, was the Mexican assassin for a while until the Mexicans assassinated him.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, when he ran, Roger was good.
Roger was more offensive, really wasn't really a defensive fighter. But he was, you know, which is weird, him as training Floyd, Floyd Jr., but, you know, Roger was good. I like Roger's style and Roger coming in as the, you know, what was it, the Black Mamba, was it?
The Black Mamba, the Mexican assassin, yeah. All that kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, hey, I was at the L.A. Forum when he fought Chavez, right? And Murray Goodman was doing the PR for Don King. I'm repeating myself, but he decided he was going to sell the media section at the last minute. So he made up a bunch of tickets and he went out to the box office. I'm not kidding you. And he sold the media section away to people that wanted tickets. I mean, Murray was a slick dude. Don King must have probably told him to do it. But the bottom line is a lot of us in the media were standing up.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, that means that people had interest and people, you know.
No. That means that Don King has very little respect for the media whatsoever. None. I mean, listen, when a guy takes away your ticket and puts you basically in standing room only or the bleachers, you know, you got a problem with that. Tommy D, you've been to fights. You know what it's like to get a spitty seat.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I don't mind if I was media and I'm in a fight and they only had standing room only for me. I'd be happy with that. I wouldn't be, you know.
It depends how long you got to stand and how good the fight is.
That's true too. But you figure media is supposed to be moving around and, you know, talking to fighters as they come out and stuff like that. You know, they're not standing still. I don't know. I maybe it's just me. I don't know.
You know, I relish the days of press row when you had the guys on the front row like myself and the whole of the New York papers and the Boston Globe and this and that. I mean, we were all front row straight up, and it was sort of cool. I mean, it was sort of cool. There was a press section back there. There was a media. I mean, people were held accountable. I mean, like David Sutherland, the judge that had it, you know, Caleb Plant went in that fight a few weeks ago against Armando Resendez or Jose Resendez, whatever it was, Armando Jose. But the bottom line is, you know, he should be banned for life. Instead, he just took down his Facebook page and thought he was going to get to go away for a little while.
Yeah, and nobody's talking about it except you and me. Right?
Hey, do you think we should start a Facebook?
He's going to get another big fight.
Tommy D, do you think we should start a Facebook page, Bad Judges?
We should. That's not a bad idea.
I was thinking about that. I mean, we should just start a little Facebook page. It wouldn't cost us anything, but just Bad Judges, and put David Sutherland up there. Let him be the poster boy.
Him, and I mean, I'm sure there's other ones that, you know.
Your buddy with that great name. What's his name? Tim who?
Cheatham.
Oh,
Cheatham.
Come on. Not a boxing judge. His name is what?
Cheatham.
Tim Cheatham. I mean, think about that, folks. I mean, you're in a body. Ladies and gentlemen, the judges tonight, Tim Cheatham. And you say to yourself, man, this guy's got a little
flake. And he'll be the poster guy of the channel. Definitely. You know, that would be perfect. I think we should do it.
Tim Cheatham. Back to De La Hoya Mosley, 25 years later. You know, De La Hoya's doing well. He's got his promotion going on, and Mosley was involved in a lawsuit with him, and I think Mosley ended up settling or pulling out. He said he didn't have the money to stay in the suit and this and that, but Mosley had 10% of that company, De La Hoya company. That's a lot of money right now.
Yeah, and I guess, I don't know, they had a falling out. I don't know what it was, but... you know, that was one of the best things he could have done, I guess. But, you know, Shane,
man,
I don't know how much money
you
had.
Know what I would have, do you know what I would do for 10% of Oscar De La Hoya's promotions? I mean, outside of sexual favors, I'd do just about anything. I wanted to clarify that.
and that's not good that you said that, because all those people that are now working on De La Hoya, they hear this, and then they remember the pictures that he took.
No. Here's what's up. I was managing. We'll go to a break on this one. I was managing Pier 39 Security in San Francisco. It's Pier 39 is sort of like Coney Island here in San Francisco. So anyway, I was managing. You know, we'll take it back after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Back with Sir Thomas Dillon with the video fame right after this.
Travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know, I'm just excited to be back. I wish we could do a fight every night. You know me, Pedro.
My man, Nick Charles. Rest in peace, Nick Charles. Of course, man, he was such a class act. And, of course, 3 or 4 days before he passed away, he shot me a text. And this is a champion tech guy. He shot me a tweet. Tommy, this is why I don't like Twitter. This is why I don't like Twitter. 3 days before Emmanuel died, he sent me a text on Twitter, and he says, "I'm not going to make it, blah, 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 I'm sorry," you know, something like that. I was just crying. And then Nick Charles, just before Nick Charles passed away, he sent me a tweet as well. So I'm down on Twitter. Of course, I'm down on Elon Musk in general, but the bottom line is I don't do Twitter, man. It just freaks me out. Anyway, back before the break, I was talking about managing Pier 39 security. Of course, Pier 39 being like a Disneyland, a Coney Island, call it what you want here in San Francisco, but the bottom line is it's on Fisherman's Wharf, and it's a big tourist trap, no doubt about that. So I'm managing Pier 39 security, and one morning I get an email, and it's an email, it's a picture of Oscar in a dress. I mean, you know, Oscar De La Hoya wearing women's clothes and lingerie and underwear and panties and this, and he shaved his legs and all this kind of stuff. And I'm saying to myself, man, this is like freaky, this is like weird, but is somebody trying to set me up for a lawsuit? That's what I was thinking, that somebody was sending me doctored stuff and wanted me to put it up on ringtalk.com. That was the website I had back then. They wanted you to put it up on ringtalk.com and open myself up to some type of a lawsuit. So I thought it was a trap, okay? So I took all these pictures. They gave me like 6 or 7 different pictures. So I sent these pictures to Emmanuel Stewart, who had trained Oscar De La Hoya at one point in time, and I asked Emmanuel to look over the picture. So Emmanuel's looking at this with some big, like, 36-inch monitor in his Detroit office, because him and his secretary are looking at it, and he's going, he goes, "Yeah, that's him." So we knew that was Oscar, okay? But that was Oscar in drag, no doubt about that. But nothing ever. Here's what's up. I guess you can be in drag and not be gay, because Oscar didn't do anything gay with any dudes. It was always with chicks.
That we know of?
No, you all know, for the most part. I know. I told you I interviewed a Russian hooker one time. Did I tell you about that one?
I'm not sure.
Okay, ahead. Well, anyway, I interviewed this Russian hooker from D.C., and she had spent some time with Oscar, and she said to me that he was into lingerie. No. When Oscar called her on the phone, he told her to bring a kit. Now, a kit to me is when I'm going to fit a girl in a kit, that means panties, nylons, pantyhose, garter belt, I don't know, all that kind of crazy stuff. Here I'm coming from. But anytime she met up with Oscar, she brought a kit.
Wow.
So Oscar was in the dress and fuck was in the dress of freaky. Okay, he was a freaky dude. Then the butt plugs, all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is he wasn't gay. That, you know, I mean, that's I guess there's a difference. There is a difference. He's just a weird dude.
Extra weird.
And you know, yeah, of course, and they dog him for it. He don't deny it or run from it anymore. He says I was messed up on coke. He tried to blame it on, listen, cocaine's a hell of a drug. That's what Rick James said.
Rick James did say that, and we learned that, you know, it is a hell of a drug, you know, so I guess it is. I guess, you know, but that's, you know, nowadays, you know, people will blame it either on cocaine or maybe mental illness. There's a lot of,
Here's what's up. Going off subject. The mental illness situation in this country was out of control, I guess, after about the 80s, because when I was a cop, they didn't have homeless people on the street. And then a few years after being a cop in the 80s, they asked us to start counting the homeless people on the street. And I said, why are we counting homeless people? Because President Reagan let all these nuts out of the federal nut houses, okay? But the bottom line is, that's just like compounded, and there was more and more mentally unstable people on the street. That was before the pandemic and before the epidemic of drugs. You know what I'm saying? So you combine it all together, man, we've got like another world living. We have a second world in the United States, and there's people on the street.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's a crazy world we live in,
and we're bombing Iran and this kind of stuff right now. I'm just like blown away. Listen, I remember I told you I gave up the news after the election. I gave up the news. I haven't watched the news, but somehow somebody told me that we're bombing Iran. I mean, more brown. No, I hate to put it like this, Tommy D, but it's just more brown people. I mean, we're going after brown people with ICE, and yet there's all kinds of Russians, all kinds of Ukrainians, all kinds of Chinese people, Asian people in this country here illegally, but they're not going after any of them. They're only going after the brown guys.
Yeah, I mean...
That's it, Tommy. Think about it. They're not going after the Chinese. They're not going into Chinatown with ice sweeps.
That's a good, very good point. I never even thought about it like that. You know?
No, man. We're going across the pond. Like, listen, it was the yellow man for a while. They wanted to beat up on the yellow man in Vietnam for a knot. They wanted their natural resources. I think that was the original goal, and to take over that part of the world. But honest, that didn't work. And now they're going back a second. It's like a second opportunity. They're going to take over in the Middle East. Of course, this guy, the president now, I think is a bit off kilt, to put it to you mildly. And I think that we're in a world of trouble. I really do. I think this country is headed for a world of trouble. And I think that everybody, listen to me right now, everybody should have some cash on hand in the house.
Why?
Because if something goes down and some enemy knocks out our internet system or something like that, and you're sitting there with your debit card, you can stick your debit card up your butt at a restaurant.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. That's all we need is one big cyber attack, which I've always kind of feared that too.
That's why the Inspector one carries around a money belt, nothing but cash, nothing but cash. I was like, go to him. Can you change a hun? Because when he looks up my hundred, he says, "I don't know." Bro, listen, I'm the only dude on the planet that takes $100 bills into places. Unless they're like stone cold, brand new $100 bills, people look me up and down. They look at the bill, they turn around, they use a pen, all kinds of. I get through like, and you know what? I've watched other guys come up with $100 bills, and they don't get the same treatment I get. Do I look like a thug?
No, you don't look like a thug. No, kind. That's.
No, wait, no I'm comment? Sorry, is that what you're going to say, no comment?
I really was going to say.
Oh, were you really going to say that, no comment?
I caught myself.
I'm actually hurt, man. I'm actually hurt. Listen, I helped create this monster, okay? I did. Sir Thomas Dillermuth, of course. All right, let's go back to the subject at hand.
Oh man, I think that was a big screw up on my part.
No, it wasn't a screw up. Just showed you exactly where you're coming from. We got to worry about you, Holmes. We got to worry about you. There's no doubt about that. Now, this Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, somehow Dana's going to find a way to fill it up, huh? No matter if people don't want to go.
Yeah, they'll find a way to fill. I think it will fill up. I mean, you know, they've been promoting this, you know, even longer than when the fight was announced. They've been saying that this fight was going to happen for about a year now. So I think they definitely will fill it up. I wonder what the ticket prices are going for. I'm very curious of that. But, you know, because the gate, the gate has to do well if they really care about the gate, because Turkey obviously doesn't care for money, because the fight is going to be on Netflix. So all you need is a subscription and, you know, you can watch the fight.
That just means that we don't that people don't have to take the fifth.
Yeah, we don't have to take the fifth, and you know, not we, but people don't have to take the fifth as far as you know, watching it on pay per view.
Well, you know what? Listen. What really pisses me off about pay per view is when the guy pulls the shade next door. I mean, I'm watching, but we're in like eighth round. The guy pulled the shade on me in the eighth round.
Yeah, it's selfish. That's crazy.
I'm watching through binoculars, folks, into somebody else's house. Of course, he did look like he was in his underwear. Probably didn't want me to see that as well. But the bottom line is, I'm watching the fight through this window, and he pulls down the shade.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
So I really don't know what to say. Anyway, as far as tickets are concerned, at the let's go for some ticket prices here. Of course, October the 12th. I take that back. September the 12th. Take that back. Let's look at some of the prices here. Section 418, row 9, two tickets together, $676 each. The best deal is $981 for two tickets together, and that is in on the main floor, outside of $900. So it's about $900 for the. Wait! Take that back. Here's one ticket, best view, best seat in the house. Are you ready for this price, Tommy D?
Oh my God! I know it's going to be like five digits.
$4,611.
$4,600 to be front row?
Not front row, but center stage and ringside.
Yeah, that's still too much, but yeah, that's you know.
Listen,
that's,
man,
that's a
I would pay to see the Beatles, maybe. You know, I mean, you can bring them all, bring them back from the dead. This, and I might pay to see the Beatles $4,000, but outside of that, now most I ever paid for a ticket was when I went to see Bruno Mars. I paid $800.
Okay.
And the chicks were jumping.
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
Oh man, Bruno throws a party in Vegas, Bruno throws a party. Of course, Bruno went in the hole, according to reports, and according to my attorney in Las Vegas, I will leave his name unmentioned. But the bottom line is, according to him, Bruno rolled up nearly $50 million in blackjack debts at the MGM Grand.
Mm. Wow.
You know why? You know, it's rumored that Bruno has a problem.
It wouldn't shock me. I tell you that much.
Listen, man, you've got to be a sick puppy to sit there and keep betting. You know what? I watch guys bet. I mean, I've watched guys, you serial gamblers, this and that. In fact, there was one Major League Baseball player that I won't dog him this and that, but he was a great pitcher this and that, and he couldn't get up off. He must have sat down for a 6.5 or 7 hours. He wouldn't get up. He just wouldn't get up. Some of these guys, gambling's addictive. It's not addictive to me, but some people, it's like a Jones.
It's a drug. Gambling is a drug. You know, the high, you know, and it's funny. Somebody told me one time, the biggest high for gamblers is not when they win. It's their biggest loss. That's their high.
No. Let me tell you like this. A little self-confessions here, okay? I used to bet on the NFL back in the day, and I ran up a $3,000 debt with the bookie. So it's time to pay the bookie up, and we're coming up on the Super Bowl, and the 49ers are favored over the Denver Broncos by 10.5 points, right? So I went up to I was going to go up to Reno and lace a bet. Instead, I put $11,000 to win $10,000 with my bookie. In other words, if I'd have lost, I'd owe him $14,000 and probably got killed. Okay, but the bottom line is, I won. They won 55-10. I mean, Tommy D, think about that. You want to talk about sure bet? 55-10. I was up 35-0. People are calling me on the phone. Time to party, Pete. I go, you're jinxing me. Get off the phone. 35-0.
I would be the same way. Pedro, I don't blame you. I would have been the same way. I would have hung up the phone. I'm like, oh, no.
In the week before the fight, you make this bet like 2 weeks before when the Super Bowl happened, and 2 weeks before they would announce who was going to be, and it was 2 weeks to set it up. So you'd have 2 weeks to sit there and stew. So for 2 weeks, I would read stuff in the paper like, the Broncos are going to kill the Niners. And then, I mean, every day was anxiety. So I lost all this weight, Tommy D. I was skinny as a rail. I just was. And then I had to sit there by myself and listen to the game because, you know, I didn't want to bring anybody in case I did lose. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you want to celebrate with somebody as far as losing is concerned. I mean, $14,000 to a bookie? That's not going to be good.
Nothing. Nah.
I may have to take out a loan or something, you know. Hey, Tommy, do you still loan the money?
Do I who?
Are you still loaning money? Rumors are you are
nope,
a shark.
No shot. That's not what I do.
Okay.
Or anyway, did.
All right. Listen, yeah, we've had fun today, haven't we?
We did.
I don't think we discussed much boxing, but we had some fun.
No, we didn't. I mean, we did learn about, you know, you going into restaurants with $100 bills, though. We learned about that today.
Man,
definitely.
I go to a 7-Eleven. The guy says to me, "Are you sure this is real?" And I'm going, man, come on. Do you do this to white people or just me?
That's messed up.
That's the way it is, baby. And that's California. You know, of all the places I've been in the world, you know where I was treated the worst? Turlock, where? California. They wouldn't serve me in a black trainer breakfast one morning.
Wow.
Yeah, but then again, I was in the newspaper talking all kinds of smack the day before, so they sort of knew who I was.
Okay.
But I went down there and I licked that guy like a stamp. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tommy D, have a great week. Hug the wife, hug the kids.
You got it, Pedro. Thank you very much. You have a good week, too.
Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. That is Sir Thomas Dillamuth. He is the Sunday Shot Caller. You can catch him Friday nights on Tommy D's television channel on VHS. On YouPorn. On YouTube. Excuse me.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Card Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Wow, June 22nd, 1938. Wow, Joe Louis, of course, beats Max Schmeling in the rematch, of course. And on this date, after evading arrest for 16 years, Larry Merchant's good friend, James Whitey Bulger, was captured in Santa Monica. Of course, he was number one on the 10 most wanted list on the FBI. And the godfather and godmother, may she rest in peace, Patricia Stitch Merchant, they were going to an apartment building once a week to visit friends, and Whitey Bulger lived in the same building. So, you know, I'm trying to say they sort of gaffed on not catching that guy. Of course, he was like the number one guy on the FBI's list for a long, long time. Of course, he passed away when he decided he wanted to get transferred to general population. He did it in order to, that was Whitey Bulger's suicide. When he went into to general population, they killed him. He was dead within 4 or 5 hours. I kid you not. Bottom line is they were ready for him. Of course, he was a bit of a snitch too along the line. But living in Santa Monica right near Larry Merchant. Larry Merchant was going in that building once a week. Speaking of Larry Merchant, he left me a call last night, as I said a little bit earlier, at 11:23 p.m. He hasn't texted me back, so maybe, I don't know if he's awake yet or not, but the bottom line is we're trying to get him on for hour number two. If we can, we can. If we can't, we can't. Straight up, you are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, June 20th, 1980, the great fight. Leonard and Hearns, of course, Leonard and Duran, of course, Duran winning a 15-round unanimous nod, of course. June 17, 2000, of course, Sugar Shane Mosley beats Oscar De La Hoya at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California, in front of a sold-out crowd. It was like a multi-million dollar gate. Big fight on pay-per-view. Everybody had a good time. Of course, the party afterwards, Seth Abraham, the guy that called me a minch, and I thought that was a bad word at first, but it means a man of nobility and class, but honesty. But the bottom line is, Seth Abraham spent like $1 million on that party. Without a doubt, it was one of the greatest parties I've ever been to in my entire life. Larry Merchant says he don't remember the parties, but he remembers the fight. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming up after the news, right here on Sports Byline, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Twitch.tv and, of course, SportsByline.com. Straight up, you are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Shorts. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. On the court, NBA Finals action. The Indiana Pacers force a Game 7, tying the series with an at-home W, 108-91 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. At one point, the Pacers had up to a 30-point lead over the Thunder, Indiana having six players scoring in the double digits. Game 7 back in Oklahoma, set for June 22nd. More basketball action, a pair of games on the WNBA scoreboard. The Mercury on the road defeat the Liberty 89-81, and the Valkyries at home defeated the Fever 88-77. America's favorite pastime, baseball, saw lots of action on the scoreboard. Twins on the road against the Reds win big 12-5. Nationals get a W by one over the Rockies 4-3. Yankees win over the Angels 7-3. Tigers at home take it over the Pirates 9-2. Cardinals W over the White Sox 5-4. Brewers win over the Cubs 8-7. Rangers lose to the Royals on top 4-1. Diamondbacks win over the Blue Jays 9-5. Giants over the Guardians 2-1. Phillies win against the Marlins 2-1 as well. Braves defeat the Mets at home 7-1. Orioles on the road against the Rays take it 4-1. Athletic defeat the Astros 6-4. And the Padres out on top over the Dodgers 5-3. Stay up to date on all things sports. And for more sports content, make sure you're following at Sports Overnight America on Instagram. That's your Sports Shorts, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Hi, this is Marty Terrell, Sports Overnight America. Check out our app. It's in the Apple Store right now under Sports Overnight America. Download and enjoy scores, interviews, highlights, all the podcasts. The weekend edition, Saturday night, 7 to 10 Eastern time. And weekend replays, 24/7. You can listen to Sports Byline USA, NFL, NBA, NHL, hockey, English Premier League. Presented by American Premium Vodka. Enjoy responsibly.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American. America we need right now. America.
responsibly.
Soccer season rolls on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is Tyler Levine, host of First Touch, the premier weekly global soccer show across the entire Sports Byline Broadcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Simple Radio, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. We're talking English Premier League, Champions League, our picks of the week, and a whole lot more. First Touch on Sports Byline USA Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. See you there.
The Sports Grid Radio Network presents this date in sports history.
And Lewis looks like a man about to fall.
In 1936, it was more about fascism versus democracy. German boxer Max Schmeling KOs Joe Lewis in 12 rounds at Yankee Stadium.
The fight's all over. It's one of the great upsets. And the huge underdog from Germany, Max Schmeling, is declared the winner. And scenes of pandemonium in New York.
For Sports Grid Radio, I'm Mike Demergis.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTSOVERNIGHTAMERICA.
Bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated. Get this. I am the original podcast. We went on the internet originally back in 1992. I know that seems like a long time ago, but straight up, we are the original podcast. Who are we? Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. For decades, you're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. The producer in the other room, the man running the shot square, is the impeccable one, Mr. Bailey Peck. But straight up, this is hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Sunday edition. Of course, open phone lines around the planet if you dare. And I say if you dare because if you call and you act like a fool, I'll hang up on you. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. Of course, we'll get into a lot of history this hour, and we'll spend some time with Ernie Shavers. Of course, the hardest puncher in the history of boxing. People say to me, well, did he really hit that hard? You know, come on, maybe you exaggerate. I don't exaggerate. I'm telling you, listen, a boxer can take a punch that's coming at you when you can see it. I couldn't. There's never a punch that really did anything to me that I could see coming, okay? Just even if it hit me on the chin. But if you don't see a punch coming, you get hit with punches you don't see coming, those punches can destroy you. Just do. Of course, I got dropped, I think, 5 or 6 times in my career, and all by hooks, right hooks and left hooks. The right hooks hurt the worst. Why do I say that? Because somehow you're not used to getting hit by the left-handed side. In other words, when a right-hander throws a left hook, okay, a left southpaw throws a right hook. Okay, when I fought Ernie Chavez in the National Golden Gloves, and wow, I mean, at welterweight division, I said to myself, you know, this guy's going to be easy to beat. And I licked him like a stamp for about 2.5 minutes until he hit me one time. He hit me one time and he almost separated me from my senses. Of course, I woke up, take that back, woke up real quick, and we ended up going into the second round. I got knocked down again. I said to myself, I've had enough. I basically pulled my no moss trip right then and there and quit. Smart move because I was concussed. No doubt about that. Straight up, we've got lots of boxing to talk about. Once again, open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. The House Historian Frank 1961 is in the house. We'll talk about that and more today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The impeccable one. Take it away.
Hey,
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands. And the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solution Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. That's 800-659-7997. Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Little funk courtesy of the Average White Band, a.k.a. WB. Straight up, you are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Last night in Jersey, Tommy D didn't bring it up. Sock didn't bring it up. Of course, both these guys went to a card last night, and evidently the WBO number 10 ranked middleweight, Vito Malinecki, now junior, returned to his home state for another win. Of course, last night, the 23-year-old defeated Poland's Kamil Gazov by a 10-round decision. Get this, the score was 189 three times. That means this guy didn't win a minute of a round. He lost all 10 rounds and then lost another point to begin with. The bottom line is that was a horrible performance. It was boring. It was on television. Nobody would watch it after one or two rounds. I didn't fall asleep. I just turned it off. But that was the eventual outcome of the fight. No doubt about that. Let's go to the House Historian. Let's talk about Frank 1961. Of course, we mentioned yesterday, June 21st, 1955. Archie Moore retained the light heavyweight title with a third round knockout over Carl Bobo Olsen. Bobo Olsen was a local guy around San Francisco, Stockton, and Sacramento. I emceed his last public event when he was suffering from Alzheimer's, but I emceed his last event, and he was in good shape as far as getting up and being able to wave to the crowd. I think it was around 2 years before he died. Okay, let's talk about this. CTE can only, chronic traumatic encephalopathy can only be diagnosed in death as far as an autopsy is concerned. So you can't diagnosis on a live person. You can say he's got pugilistic dementia. You can say he's got this and that. He's got this and that. But you can't say he's got actually CTE. On June 27, 1988, I was there. Mike Tyson becomes a real and undisputed world heavyweight champ when he knocked out the great Michael Spinks. Really? My great Michael Spinks? Come on, Frank, 1960. Went great light heavyweight, maybe. But he knocked out Michael Spinks in 91 seconds. Listen, it made it took Mike Tyson 2 seconds less to make a believer out of Michael Spinks, he didn't make a liar out of Carl the Truth Williams. I think he knocked out Carl the Truth Williams in his last big win. That was in 1989. I was there as well. Of course, that was a big fight night, no doubt about that. We had the party for Ray Robinson. His wife, Millie Robinson, was there. Of course, Ray had passed away a couple of years before, but we had this big party for him. Of course, I told you, pay for the party, right? Donald Trump. Donald Trump paid for the party. I mean, Don King got him. Don King suckered him to a photo op, brought him down, said, Pedro, Don King's coming down. Donald Trump's coming down, said, we're eating breakfast. I said, I don't care. I don't like to do it anyway. We're going to the back there. Don't mess it up for us. So I go in the back of the room, and Donald Trump comes in, and he's kissing Don King's ass. In fact, they're kissing each other's ass. You know, if Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King. So anyway, these two guys, they got together. They took a photo op. And then I remember King running this by him. Listen, I need $265,000 for some party tonight and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Donald Trump wrote the bill on that one. So the bottom line is we had a big party. Rocky Graziano was there, the former middleweight champion. Of course, he's the guy that came out with that movie, Somebody Up There Likes Me, something like that. But the bottom line is Rocky Graziano, my last shot with him is I said to him, hey, Rock, can I get an interview? I was like, you know, young, what? Anyway, I couldn't believe it. There he was, Rocky Graziano. He said, kid, okay, well, just a minute. I got to go take a squirt. I'll be right back. I never saw him again. He died a year and a half later. Bottom line is, that's the Rocky Graziano story, of course. So Mike Tyson did knock out Carl the Truth Williams with 2 seconds longer. Of course, that was his last big win before losing to James Buster Douglas. That was in 1989. Mike Tyson wasn't champion that long. You know, people say to me, the invincible Mike Tyson, he wasn't all that invincible. I remember what Muhammad Ali told Larry Merchant, and after Mike Tyson had annihilated Trevor Burbick in 2 rounds to grab the WBC title, how long can he hold it? How long can he hold it? That's really the sign of greatness as far as Muhammad Ali thought. And, of course, you know, Mike Tyson went on to a couple of years, and then he went downhill from that point forward, went to jail, you know, over the Desiree Washington rape that didn't take place. I mean, think about this. And I'm a cop. Most people know that. I'm an ex-cop, and I'm an investigator, and I've investigated crimes and crime scenes, and I do investigations now, criminal and civil. And the bottom line is, you know, this lady, Desiree Washington, she came over to Mike Tyson's room. Check Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson met her at the beauty pageant a little bit earlier in the day. So he said to her, hey, I'm going to call you tonight. So he calls her tonight, and Desiree Washington picks up the phone. She says, hi, Mike. She's all, you know, all head over heels. So Mike says, come on over to my place. I'll send a limo for you. So Mike sends a limo for her. So the limo goes over and picks her up. And, you know, limo driver don't say nothing to her. She says, hi, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. So drops her back at the hotel. She goes up to Mike's penthouse. Of course, Mike answers the door in his underwear. Not a good sign if you, like, are going there for a platonic rendezvous. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not a good sign, okay? So anyway, bottom line is, Mike's in his underwear. They get on the bed. They're rolling around on the bed. A lot of foreplay, this and that. And she gets up. She said it was getting hot and heavy. So she gets up, and she goes into the bathroom. This lady, Desiree Washington, goes into the bathroom. She was a Miss Indiana beauty contestant. So anyway, she goes into the bathroom, and she takes off her – I may sound a little gross here, but she takes off her panty shield, which she said she was having her menstrual cycle at the same time. In other words, she was on her period, and she took off her panty shield, and she left it on the sink board. So she put her panty shield, the panty shield that was preventing any penetration, you know, happening, right? I mean, that's what it was. It was pretending it would prevent any penetration. She took that off, and she left that on the sink, on the sink board. And then she left, and she went out to Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson eventually allegedly raped her. This and then I think she was game until Mike went a little crazy. Mike's a bit of a freak. I mean, there was oral sodomy involved, all kinds of stuff like that. So Mike's a bit of a freak. In fact, I told you about the hooker that I interviewed in Vegas one time. She slept with both heavyweight champions. Her claim to fame was sleeping with two heavyweight champions, the impeccable one, Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson. Can you believe this? Mike Tyson was an animal, and Lennox Lewis was a gentleman. How do I find that hard to believe? Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Fights were in Ogden, Utah last night. I fought in Salt Lake City one time. Of course, we fought against a guy that couldn't lick a stamp. You know, people say to me, when you fought in other cities and other states and other – I didn't fight in any other countries, but I fought in – I fought in Colorado. I fought in lost in Colorado. I fought in Arizona. I won one and lost one in Arizona. I went to Oregon. I won in Oregon. And what was I in Nevada? Nevada, I think I was 2-1, something like that. But the bottom line is, when you go on the road, it's just not easy. But when I went to Utah, it was weird because, you know, they didn't want to – how can I put this? I had to go to Denny's. I don't like Denny's, but back in the day, Denny's was it. As far as you wanted to get a couple eggs and this, that was the only place you can go. But I went to Denny's, I think it was in Salt Lake City, and they treated me nice and this and that, but I felt a little funny being around there because I was like, there wasn't too many people of color, no doubt about that. But I won going away, and I remember my mother getting me on the phone afterwards, calling her long distance, telling her, Mom, I won. Of course, she was happy as hell. She was one of the biggest proponents and supporters of my boxing career. In fact, I don't know if I told you this, but I went 6-0. All one-minute rounds. Let me tell you, in the boys' club, when you're a kid, you fight in one-minute rounds, okay? You know, 11, 12 years old, you fight in one-minute rounds. Oh, God, two-minute rounds was crazy. So when I won all these fights in one-minute rounds, and then I had my first two-minute round fight, and I decided I would invite my mother to come see this. This would be the first time she ever saw me fight in the ring. She saw me fight in the street a lot of times when she pulled me off people, but the bottom line is this will be the first time she ever saw me in the ring. So anyway, I'm saying to myself, man, I'm going to win this fight. Anyway, but halfway through the first round, I realized two-minute rounds were a long, long time. I never realized how long they were compared to a one-minute round, but it's twice as long. It's like crazy. So anyway, after about the second round, I looked like an asthmatic. I was tired, this and that, and the guy beat me. There's just no doubt about that. He beat me. So I went home later that night, and my mother was smoking a cigarette. That was led to her demise. But the bottom line is she was smoking a cigarette in the dark, and I could see the glow of the cigarette going. She goes, hey, because I want to talk to you. I said, yeah. She goes, listen, you know, tonight, I don't know how to say this. She goes, but I don't want you to embarrass yourself or the family. I said, say what? She goes, yeah. She goes, you don't embarrass yourself or the family. I go, what are you talking about, Mom? I barely lost. I said, blah, blah, blah. She goes, yeah, but you didn't lose because the guy was better than you. You lost because you were tired. And the bottom line is, Mom, of course, became my running coach at that point in time. And I said to myself, she said to me, I'm going to take you running. Chris and I have decided I'm going to take you running. I said, you're going to take me running? You're going to run? She goes, no, I'm going to drive the car. It was worse. She drove the car into the ground and, of course, me behind it. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
In other words, I'm broke as spit. Spit with an H, and I need some money. I mean, come on, man. Why else would you come back at the age of 46? I mean, 46 years old. Oh, man. Of course, I remember when Manny Pacquiao turned pro. Of course, he was a 112-pounder. He won the WBC title, then he lost it in a heartbeat. But the bottom line is he moved up to 122 pounds, was a bit of an underdog, beat in South Africa for the title. From that point forward, he was on a bit of a roll. He beat Marco Antonio Barrera. He beat a lot of guys. But the bottom line is he's 46 years old. I mean, come on, man. He's older than dirt. I mean, why would he continue to fight? Well, because he needs the money. There's no other way I could put it. I mean, when you look at the event, there's a pretty good event going down on that day. Of course, talking about the 19th and top by Manny Pacquiao, of course, and Mario Barros going to hook it up for the WBC 147-pound championship. Of course, he hasn't fought in like 3.5 years. I think Manny Pacquiao, and the last time he fought, he lost, so he shouldn't be. I mean, come on, man. What about the guys that were in line before him? What, the 11 to 12 guys, the top 12 guys in the WBC are eligible for a title shot? Well, guess what? 12 guys were aced out because Manny Pacquiao, at the age of 46, decided to come back, and the WBC decided to anoint him some special honor and give him a title shot. So I'm down with that, but compensate the 12 guys that didn't get any money, okay? They're not going to do that. There's just no way, no how. But the bottom line is, at the end of the event, at the end of the night, I think that Manny Pacquiao is probably going to be beat by Barrios. Barrios comes in with 2 losses. He looks like a far better fighter. 29-2-1. Of course, Manny Pacquiao, 6-2-8-2. WBC World Welterweight title. Also on the card, Sebastian Vettori, the 6'5" freak. I'm talking about the guy, of course, from... I met his sister. His sister's a fighter as well. She's like a champion of the IBF or something like that, like 120 pounds, somewhere around there. But the bottom line is, I met him and his sister at a WBC convention a few years ago, and the guy legitimately is 6'5". He's 6'5", 154 pounds. He's a bit of a weight bully. It's sort of hard to beat a guy that big and a guy, you know, that has that kind of physical attributes, right? But I think if you step on his foot a couple of times, you throw him off kilt, I think you got a good chance of beating him. Anyway, Tim Zhu and Sebastian Vettori first fought, I think, in March of last year. And, of course, that fight ended up being Tim Zhu losing a 12-round decision after getting elbowed in the first or the second round. A cut ensued on the top of his head. He bled like a stuck pig. He never stopped bleeding. They couldn't stop the cut no matter what. Because of that part of the head, you need to have stitch it up. You can't close it with medicine or anything like that, any adrenaline, that kind of stuff. No. It's got to be stitched because there's an artery up there. Of course, we learned that from Jacob Stitch-Saran, our own cut man. But the bottom line is, cut man to the stars. So anyway, so this cut wasn't addressed, and Zhu lost minute after minute after minute after. He never won another minute. Never won another minute of the fight after the second round. He just didn't. Of course, not in my book. Anyway, but Sebastian Vettori won that fight. Of course, Vettori now going to do a rematch with Tim Zhu. Tim Zhu has lost another fight in between. He came back. He fought a guy like me. He fought some schmo, and he got a win under his belt. But the bottom line is Tim Zhu and Sebastian Vettori are going to hook it up on the undercard of Manny Pacquiao and Mario Barros. Also on the card, Isaac Cruz. They call him the Pit Bull. I call him a little bit less. 27-3-1, of course, a very exciting fighter from the country of Mexico in the minds of a lot of people. Ranked number 29th at, I think, at 140 pounds. But the bottom line is, he's taking on Angel Fierro. Angel Fierro is a 5-1 underdog. Remember I said that. He's a 5-1 underdog. And usually I don't bet fights, but we'll get to that in just a second. Anyway, bottom line is 5-1 underdog, 23-3-2, of course. These guys fought in February. I was there in Las Vegas when they fought in February, and I thought that he beat Cruz going away. But the scores, of course, were 98-92. Couldn't believe that. 97-93. Couldn't believe that. 96-94. They all thought the other guy. They all thought. You know, I didn't think. Anyway, bottom line is, I really, really think that this young man has got a real good chance of winning again. Because he didn't win the first time, but had a good chance of winning this time. 23-3 now, 18 KOs. That's a good fight on the undercard. And of course, I bet $100 on that one at 5-1. Why did I do that? I just felt like it was time to make a bet. You know, if you lose, win or lose, it's only $100. Also on the card, Brandon Figueroa taking on Joette Gonzalez. Of course, these guys are going to hook it up. Not a rematch, but they're going 12 rounds and at featherweight, I think, for a WBC featherweight title. It's got to be the WBC involved. All you notice, you don't hear much of the IBF. Once in a while, I hear the WBO and the WBA. No. The WBC's got everything going on. Why do I say that? Because they're sanctioning interim champions in just about every weight class. I mean, think about that. You're the 168-pound champion, and you say, guess what? I'm the champion of the world. I just defended my title. And the WBC says, guess what? We're going to have an interim champion. Say what? Why would you need an interim champion when I'm kicking everybody's ass? That's just not right. I mean, they're watering down the title. It's all about the money, but that's the WBC right now, the world of bunko and chicanery, of course. We call it Weeby Canelo. Call it what you want. Of course, those guys that didn't give David Benavidez a title shot for 3.5 years, and Benavidez still having to kiss ass as a WBC 175-pound champion after being ignored at 168. He was a 168 for 3.5 years. He was the number one contender, and they just pissed on him. They just did the WBC after they said, "Oh, we're going to make them the mandatory," but they never made them mandatory. They never did it with Canelo Alvarez. Of course, Canelo said, "I'll never fight him." The reason why Canelo would never fight him is that he would beat Canelo into submission. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, straight up, that is a mismatch in the making. Back to my man, Frank 1961. Turkey, Sheik Turkey Jerky is what I call him, is considering implementing a 16-foot ring for the Shakur Stevenson versus William Cepeda fight to improve the chances of it being entertaining and not being pure poison to the boxing fans' eyes. Well, hold on, Shakur's here. You know, you could put, I don't care. I'm going to kick Cepeda's ass. I don't care what you say. I'm going to throw good punches. My hands are good. I got hand surgery. My hands are good. And look for me. Look like Barry on Boxing says, this is going to be my coming out party. That's right. That's Shakur Stevenson. Of course, William Cepeda probably going to get lit up like a White House Christmas tree. I don't care if it was a 16-foot ring or a 60-foot ring. I don't think Zabeda and Shakur DeBong in the same ring. Although he's the number one contender, I think that Shakur Stevenson is the most gifted of all these guys. I mean, that's what I've been told. I mean, who told me that? A couple guys in the East Bay that were associated with Andre Ward and a couple guys at the B Street Boxing with Eddie Croft. A couple guys that worked with him, a couple guys that watched him in the ring, a couple guys that watched him, Gervonta Davis, that entire crew, Ryan Garcia. But they say of all these guys, Shakur Stevenson is the most talented. Wow. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Andy Gannigan, considered one of the hardest punchers in the history of boxing. And I'll tell you about that in just a second. In 1980, I will go to it right now. In 1980, I was in Las Vegas and went to see Alexis Arguello defend the WBC lightweight championship against the number one ranked Gannigan. Now, Gannigan was a southpaw, and Gannigan hit Arguello so hard, he knocked him down, but he hit him so hard that was in the second round. Then he hit him again in the third round, and Arguello told me he'd never, ever, 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 ever been hit that hard in his entire life. And that's the sort of the thing with me. You get hit by left-handers, and it's different than getting hit by a right-hander. It's foreign. It's queer. It's not the norm. I mean, you're used to getting hooks on that one side of the head, but you get hooked on the other side of the head, things happen. Anyway, Andy Gannigan's last fight was an unsuccessful attempt to take the USBA lightweight championship from Jimmy Paul of Kronk, of course, of the Kronk gym. Jimmy Paul's got about 65 or 70 houses that he owns. At least that was like the count, like maybe 10 years ago in the Detroit area. In other words, he became a real estate entrepreneur, per se, put all his money in houses and had like 60 or 70 houses, according to the late, great Amanda Stewart. Anyway, Paul stopped Gannigan on a six-round TKO. Of course, an attack in 2010 left him with permanent damage. Andy Gannigan died 2 years later at the age of 59. The assailant, identified as 21-year-old, 6-foot-tall, 290-pound Matthew Cooper, who beat up the 5'6", 160-pound Gannigan, pleaded no contest to first-degree assault charge and was sentenced to 18 months in prison and 5 years probation. Well, bottom line is he left him a cripple, no doubt about that. But Gannigan was one of the hardest punches I ever saw in my life. In fact, I remember when Pat O'Grady tried to pull a con. You remember Pat O'Grady? Pat O'Grady was the father of Sean O'Grady. He fixed a lot of fights. I mean, in my opinion, no. In the opinion of the Attorney General of the state of Oklahoma, he fixed a lot of fights. Anyway, Pat O'Grady is going to fight. Pat O'Grady is going to have his son Sean O'Grady fight Howard Davis. Now, Howard Davis is a runner. He's the guy that's going to run around the ring. Okay, so they put in a 16-foot ring, and at the last minute, Howard Davis pulled out, and guess what? Pat O'Grady forgot about that, and he put his son. He put his son in with Andy Gannigan in a 16-foot ring, and Sean O'Grady got killed in 2 rounds. It was a brutal beatdown. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. Bottom line is, it was a mistake by Pat O'Grady. Of course, Pat O'Grady named for fixing fights. In fact, a lot of Sean's fights, I told you about the fact that Sean would fight a Mexican guy. Say his name was Bailey Peck, okay? So he's fighting Bailey, and he fights Bailey in Oklahoma, and Bailey's wearing red trunks, and then he fights Bailey in another city in Oklahoma, and Bailey's wearing pink trunks, but the only thing is, Bailey's Ramon this time. He changed his name. Then he went to Jose, then he went to Miguel, you know what I'm saying? So he did like 8 or 10 fights with Sean O'Grady, padded Sean O'Grady's record to the point where, you know, he was like 83-0 or 73-0 at one point in time before he lost his first fight, I think, to Danny Little Red Lopez. But the bottom line is, he was fighting all these Mexican bums, but the Mexican bums weren't getting paid. And why do I tell you that? Because what Pat O'Grady did was, you know how the ICE guys are now chasing the Mexicans all over the place? Well, that's what he did. He called ICE on this Mexican fighter after having him fight Sean in six or seven different cities, and never paying him. And the bottom line is, he was deported. He went back to Mexico. He never got paid. Pat O'Grady was a piece of work, no doubt about that. I mean, he just was. And, of course, Sean's record, they called him the Bubblegum Kid. We worked a lot after he retired. I think we did about probably a dozen fights together. When I mean by fights, I mean like, you know, televised cards we do together. And he was a good guy to work around, but this and that. But he was very scripted. And it wasn't my favorite guy. It just wasn't my favorite. I mean, you know, you work with a lot of guys, you know, and who was my favorite? I think Hugh Millay was my favorite guy. I think Hugh Millay, me and him did a lot of TV at FNN Sports. I think we went across the pond. We did some fights in China. I mean, we went all over the world together. But the bottom line is, I think Hugh Millay was the best guy they ever worked with. Al Bernstein was good when we were on air. I mean, we hated each other when we weren't on the air, but we're on air. We worked good, real good together. Mills Lane was working good together. Mills Lane was a good guy to work with, no doubt about that. But I think the best guy ever, I think, was Hugh Millay, not about. And Hugh's doing well down in L.A. He's married. He's got a beautiful wife. And, of course, no longer in the world of television. He said to me, I'm just enjoying being relaxed. Right on. More power to you. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. The Canelo Crawford, the shove at the press conference, I don't know. They shove each other back and forth. They can shove each other. I'm going to tell you, I'm going with the size underdog as far as in the world of boxing is concerned. Most experts are picking, you know, Canelo Alvarez because of size. Size is not going to matter. Let me tell you. I say this time and time and time again. I repeat this. You get nauseous me saying this so many times. But size matters in two things: pornography and combat sports. Not this time. Straight up, talent's going to prevail. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline. We come back in our next segment. I'll include the great late Ernie Shavers, the hardest puncher in the history of boxing. Ernie Shavers coming up on Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio. 36 and a half minutes past the hour.
Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I am honored, folks, with the presence of my next guest. Of course, he is called the Acorn, the Black Destroyer. I call him Ernie Shavers. Ernie, how's life treating you, my brother?
Life is great. And the fight game, I'm a lot of from business wise. I'm well known worldwide. I travel all over the world. I stay quite busy.
74-14 with one draw. Let's talk about your boxing career before we get into Ernie Shavers 2017. Larry Holmes told me one time, me and Larry were kicking it in Antigua. You know where Antigua is? It's one of them islands out there in the Caribbean.
I've been there, yeah.
Yeah. So me and Larry are kicking it on the beach, and I'm saying, you know, what's it like, man? I mean, you know, fighting these dudes. You fought some bad dudes. He goes, yeah. He goes, you know. I said, Larry, you know, the only time I ever got knocked down in a fight was when I didn't see a punch coming. He said, yeah. He goes, that applies with everybody. I said, with everybody except one person. I said, who's that? He goes, Ernie Shavers. He goes, you can see the punch coming, but it don't matter. You're probably going down. You hit that hard, man.
Yeah, I was a tremendous puncher. See, I grew up on a farm doing bales of hay. We had an old wooden furniture, did a lot of chopping trees down for the cold, from the cold. So they built up my leg and back myself where the power come from.
Interesting. But, you know, when, how can I put this? Holmes told me you hit hard. I was with Ali in Macau on a couple of different occasions and this and that, and we talked about hard punches, this and that, and he said Ernie Shavers, and Ali wasn't the most vocal guy in the world in 1994, but he just rolled his eyes anytime I mentioned your name, man. Keep him away from me. Keep Ernie Shavers away from me. Ernie, I mean, they loved you, but they didn't want you around.
Well, I got along with Ali. Ali and Larry both were good to me. Mm-hmm. Ali let me use his training camp to prepare for Jimmy Hall's fight and three other fights. Larry always worked for me. when I need sparring partners.
Interesting. So what was who got you started in boxing? Who was a manager? I can't think of his name right now. A little short guy. He fought. He used to fight back in the day as well. I can't think of his name. Who am I thinking of?
Pedro Tomes.
No. The little Jewish cat. The little Jewish cat that was with Don King. Remember, he lost you to Don King in a contract dispute or something like that? You know what I'm talking about.
But he didn't get me started. That guy didn't get me started. Pedro Tomes got me started.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The Don guy did work for me while I got in the fight game. But Pedro Tomes, I didn't know how. That's who started me in 70. Like in 1967.
Okay. When you hit people and they fall the way they did, what did that say to you? You realize early on that you could punch, but when you could punch harder than any man in the history of the heavyweight division, and that's how you're regarded as the hardest puncher in heavyweight history. George Foreman has told me that. Muhammad Ali has told me that. Larry Holmes has told me that. If those three guys tell me that, I'm going to believe them. You are the hardest puncher in heavyweight history.
Well, see, I grew up on a farm, see. I did a lot of hard work. We did a lot of chopping trees, throwing bales of hay, pounding bags of wheat, and that made me become a hard puncher or develop my back and leg muscle where the power come from. So when I started boxing, I'm a natural puncher then. It taught me how to punch correctly.
You know, they put guys that aren't even boxers in the world in the International Boxing Hall of Fame, like Sylvester Stallone. He's an actor. They put him in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. They got boxing writers they put in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. You're the hardest puncher in heavyweight history, in the history of the game, in the history of Marcus of Queensbury rules, in the history of boxing, in the history of martial arts. You are the hardest hitter ever. You belong in that Hall of Fame, man, just as much as those other guys do.
Let me tell you why I'm not in it, sir. I'm in a couple of Hall of Fames. I just won one last year. I'm in the Hall of Fame. They contacted me, want me to come in. I didn't want to do it. I felt so much. I wouldn't go up there and sign autographs and work 3 or 4 days. I didn't want to do it. Hall of Fame, that means nothing to me. God knows, punch hard. That's all I need to know.
But you know what? Boxing fans, I think, they feel that you deserve your props, and that's where your props would come.
Well, sir, can I tell you something? I'm in 2 or 3 Hall of Fame, and a Hall of Fame doesn't mean nothing to me. The world knows it. The fighters know it. That's all that counts.
Well, we put you in the Ring Talk Hall of Fame. No doubt about that, man. The hardest puncher pound for pound in the entire world. Now, Ernie Shavers, Larry Holmes said that he could see your punch coming and still get knocked down. How can I put this? I told you earlier, I've never been knocked down by a punch that I saw coming, so I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was like to be able to see a punch, because when you can see a punch, I don't know about you, but when you can see a punch coming, you can sort of like stand up to it. For some reason, you could take it. But when you can't see a punch coming, it's like, man, things happen.
Well, see, I was such a powerful puncher, and I punched a lot harder and faster than most people believe. It caught a lot of big up slow. I had a lot of speed,
yep,
and a lot of power. That's what I knocked them out with.
74-14, 68 knockouts, considered the hardest puncher in heavyweight history. Of course, he told us how he got that punching power. Now, what is life like for Ernie Shavers 2017?
Life is great. I'm known worldwide. I used to go to Europe. I work in Europe. I work all over America. I got 4 or 5 meetings coming up now. I'm leaving out this weekend. So I do a lot of traveling. I do a lot of work.
Ernie, you got to get me some work. You're doing all this work. You got to get me some work.
Well, see, the fight game is so good to me, and I treat people fair. See, Archie Moore, Sugar Ray Robinson, Rocky Marciano, all those guys told me what to do when I retired. How to treat people and how to care of myself. I do it, and then working for me.
You know, I got to work with two of those guys, of course, the great Ray Robinson, Warren Walker Smith. He and I spent much of a weekend together, the Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran weekend in June of 1984. He was staying in the hotel room across from me in the old Aladdin Hotel in Las Vegas. So I got to spend some time with him. And, you know, man, he wasn't only the greatest in the ring as far as pound for pound is concerned, but he was an outstanding man as far as outside of the ring is concerned. He really knew boxing. He knew more about society and people than you can imagine for a prize fighter. He was well-versed and a very articulate man.
Oh, yeah. I met him here in Las Vegas. He gave me some good advice. I listened to it, and it worked out well.
Well, that's good. Anyway, what do you, what's, what, all right, what are you doing this week? What's Ernie Shavers doing this week?
Well, I go back to work next week. I'll be up in somewhere out midway west. Some person out there.
Okay.
Then I've got three or four places lined up now to make appearances. I do autograph signing and stuff like that. So I stay quite busy.
Okay. When you look at the, I'm gonna hit you with a hard question here. 111 National Football League players were tested that died recently, and they were tested in after they were dead for their brains as far as brain damage was concerned. And all, 110 out of 111 of them came up with this severe brain damage called CTE. Now, boxers come up with that a lot less. Is that, if I had to, believe it or not, I know I boxed, but if I played football as well. But if I had to send my kid in a direction, I wouldn't send him in the direction of football. Believe it or not, I'd opt out for boxing instead. I think it's less dangerous.
Well, can I tell you something?
Huh?
I played high school football.
Mm-hmm.
Football is that's a tough sport. Compared to boxing, it's much tougher than boxing. I mean, I enjoy it while I'm playing it, but it's a tough, tough sport. I thank God that I did play when I started boxing. When I got tired from working hard, of football days, I kept it on going.
Wow. Well, Ernie, we wish you the very best of luck and continued success in your future. And, of course, I think the Kentucky Boxing Hall of Fame is talking about inducting you, and I think they should. I think every Boxing Hall of Fame around the world should induct the Acorn, the Black Destroyer, the great Ernie Shavers, the man that put people on their butts. And guess what? They all knew it. They had been hit by Ernie Shavers, and life was never the same after that. So we thank you so much for spending some time with us today, man, and we wish you the very best.
Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you, man.
The great Ernie Shavers.
May he rest in peace, the Acorn. Hell of a guy, no doubt about that. One time I confused him for Rahman Ali, who was Muhammad Ali's brother. In fact, Rahman, I believe, is still rocking and rolling. He's got some health issues. But the bottom line is Ernie Shavers retired 76-14, 70 KOs. Of 76 fights, only six wins went to a decision. I kid you not. So he did not put things in the judges' hands. Good guy to be around. The hardest puncher in the history of boxing, no doubt about that. June 22nd. 1979, Roberto Duran beats Carlos Palomino in a 10-round decision that was in New York City at Madison Square Garden. Of course, that set up the number one contendership for the WBC title and eventual fight with Sugar Ray Leonard. Of course, Roberto Duran beat Leonard June 20th, 1980. But Palomino, of course, he retired after that Leonard, after the Duran fight there. And he sort of, decided he was going to come back at the age of like 90. And he fought a couple of times, and it wasn't good. And this, just never good. Listen, when you come back after taking a long time off, when has it ever been good for him? With the exception of Ray Leonard, Ray didn't take that much time off. Ray's a tremendous athlete and probably, I think, one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen in my life. I've seen a lot of different guys, but it's for different sports. But I think pound for pound, I think Ray Leonard could have done anything, baseball, basketball. I mean, he was an incredible athlete. He just was, of course, the best fighter, I think, in the history of the welterweight division. Of course, even though Roberto Duran beat him, what I'm trying to say is that Duran was a better fighter pound for pound in the history of boxing because he fought at 135 pounds, 147 pounds, 154, 160. Bottom line is he won championships at all those weights, legitimate championships. Ray won weight championships at the heavier weights, of course, 168, 175, but there was some asterisks next to all of them. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, Ray Charles Leonard was the greatest welterweight, in my mind, pound for pound in the history of boxing. Now, speaking of a guy that used to be great, Deontay Wilder, 2008 Olympic bronze medalist, called him the Bronze Bomber. Remember that? Yeah. Hell of a puncher, no doubt about that. Knocking everybody dead. In fact, I think in 43 wins, he's got 42 knockouts. So there's a guy that's only one guy's went to a decision with him as far as his wins are concerned. Okay, so he's not an easy guy to go the route with. But at the end of the day, he's older than dirt. I mean, stick a fork in him. He's done. He's beyond done. Deontay LaShawn Wilder is like 38 years old now. And he's not looked good in his last two fights. I mean, he lost two fights recently. I mean, before this fight with Terrell Anthony Herndon. That's going to take place on June 27th. And guess what? I'm told Herndon's a cab driver. A cab driver or an Uber driver. But he drives people around for a living. That's what he does. I don't know how he gets in shape like that, but the bottom line is good luck to him. But, Deontay Wilder, former world heavyweight champion, man, what's his record now? 43-4. 42 KOs. But then again, Hugh lives by the sword, dies by the sword. Why do I say that? Because in four losses, he's been stopped three times. Talk of Deontay Wilder. Now, when Tommy D, of course, Sunday shot caller that appeared in hour number one of Ring Talk Live Worldwide today, when he last saw Deontay Wilder, he was invited to some private gig with him, okay? And he said that Wilder looked damaged.
He looked like a damaged individual. In other words, you've been getting hit by guys. I mean, Zhou Zhang knocked him out. You know, the Chinese, a big giant Chinese guy, 6'7", Chinese, knocked him out. I mean, that was in the fifth round. Before that, he lost to Joseph Parker. He lost to Tyson Fury by KO. He lost to Tyson Fury before that by KO. I mean, you know, it's not been all, everything hasn't been all that good. You can't fight bums all the time. You just can't fight bums all the time. And Deontay Wilder, I'm not trying to say he fought a lot of bums, but a lot of those guys on his record were less than stellar, put it like that. They call him the bomb squad. Evidently, Herndon has little chance, slim or none, and Slim's supposedly out of town. But Tyrell, Anthony Herndon, I'll give you his record before we go to a break here. But the bottom line is he is 24, come on, computer, 24-5 with 15 kills. But here is the real caveat. Here's really the what stands out on his record, Herndon's record. He's been knocked out four times. He's fighting a big puncher in Deontay Wilder. What does that tell you? He's getting knocked out number five. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Bailey, take it away.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
And all these fighters that are, you know, they share in the revenue. They do share in the revenue. They have they have the upside in the pay-per-view, you know?
Did you hear him stutter there a little bit? Did you have a stutter and stammer a little bit? The king of boxing, the king of MMA, talking to Mr. Dana White. Speaking of last night, he had a card on ABC. That's right, ABC, the television network. You knew Khalil Roundtree rebounding after that October 2024 loss to Alex Pereira, in which he was beaten
to a pulp. I've never seen a guy beaten worse than that in my life. I mean, it was the most horrific beating I think I've seen in the history of the UFC as far as the guy's face is concerned. Anyway, he returned last night. He beat Jamahal Hill, a unanimous nod across the board. That was a five-round fight at light heavyweight, 205 pounds. Co-feature, Rafael Fiziev beat Ignacio Bahamontes, and that was a unanimous nod across the board as well. No other fights. Curtis Blaydes was the winner over Rizgan Kuriev. Those were heavyweights. Straight up, those were the big three fights on the UFC card last night. Now, UFC 317 is next week, and on top, lightweight Ilia Topuria taking on Charles Oliveira. Oliveira, a UFC veteran, probably going to get lit up here. Older than dirt. Bottom line is a flyweight contest, 125 pounds, is a co-feature with the champion Alexandre Pantoja taking on, it might be chicks, I don't know, it might be just chicks, taking on Kai Kara France. I don't know enough about these guys. I mean, I don't, it might be chicks, but the bottom line is that's the UFC, and that's going next week on the 20, is that the 24th? Let me take the date exact. UFC going to be held, UFC, that's going to be June 28th, UFC from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. So Dana White's rocking and rolling, give him props, not my favorite guy, but that's just the way it is. I mean, come on, man, this is the way it is. Listen, if he takes over boxing like he's looking to do, I mean, they've got some good ideas. I'm sure he's got some good ideas. For the most part, he's a tyrant. I mean, he's just I can't put it to you no other way. If you don't want to do it Dana's way, there's no other way to do it. And I'm not one of those people that believes it, that everybody, that one person should control all of one thing, one entity, later, whether it's MMA, whether it's the SPCA, or whether it's boxing. Okay, I just don't think that Dana White is qualified to do it. I don't think anybody's qualified to do it. You give somebody enough power, and guess what? The corruption sort of goes hand in hand. That's just the way it's always been in combat sports. Why would it be any different with Dana? It just wouldn't. So what I'm trying to say is, although they've got some good concepts, him and Sheik Turkey Jerky wants to put a 16-foot ring in there with Shakur Stevenson. Shakur, what do you think of that 16-foot ring?
I don't care. I'll beat Pate anyway. I'll beat him anyway.
Speaking of Shakur Stevenson, he will be on next edition of Ring Talk Worldwide. It's off the Sunday edition. Next Sunday, we'll spend some time with Shakur Stevenson on a straight-up interview. I'm not kidding you. A straight-up interview with Shakur Stevenson next Sunday right here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I want to thank you, Impeccable One, for coming across the bridge. I know he had to row his boat all the way in from Sausalito. I want to thank him for that. Of course, I want to thank Frank 1961, Main Event Matt, and everybody else at Twitch.tv. Until next time, keep your hands up, keep your chin down, but most importantly, keep your ass off the canvas of life. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and Ring Talk Live Worldwide is a production of Sports Byline.